Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in for Max. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the Dr. Pepper call-in line. We were asking, the Patriots are the blank best team in the NFL. Like, where would you put them right now after that beatdown last night? They have won five. It's still hard to believe they won five in a row. Five straight games.
It's not hard to believe. You just don't want to believe
five
it.
Five straight games. Like, I what's hard to believe is that it just happened. Doesn't it feel like it just kind of happened? It's not like we've been on this momentum of, wow, they're really turning the season around after a 1-3 start.
Well, this 2-4 start.
2-4 as well, right, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But it's happening.
But you could slowly see that they were going to get better. I guess I didn't know that they wouldn't lose a game again in that streak.
And now we'll learn a lot about them over these next 5 weeks. Four games in a bye.
You knew they would be whatever, but you didn't know that they would just be five in a row.
Okay, so they look like that hot team right now. Obviously, the Titans will get enough. They play the Texans. They're going to be 9-2, right? Like, yes. We expect the Titans will continue to do what they're doing. But the game to watch this week, guys, as we talked about before, is Cowboys at Chiefs. Because we're going to learn a lot about both teams. We're going to learn a lot about the Cowboys and where they are right now as a team in the NFC, where we kind of have an idea of a couple of the favorites there, and they should be one of them. But we also are going to learn about the Chiefs, who have won some games lately, looked a little bit more like themselves last week against the Raiders. Mahomes looked more like himself as well, but how much do we want to believe this? I think we'll believe a lot if they get the win here. But I want to ask this question. If you had to bet right now on Dak or Mahomes winning MVP, which one would you put your money on? Now, Dak, now again, it's what you make off of it. Dak's at plus 700. That's a better bet. Mahomes, plus 1,600. So we're already on the second half of the season. Is it too late for Mahomes to get into this conversation?
I think it is. I mean, he would have to go on a historical run.
Crazy.
And hope that everybody else kind of falters, right? That means that he would have to win the rest of the game.
They'd have to win out, yeah.
And he would have to be like double his touchdowns to where he's at. Like, he would be having to just kill for the next 7 weeks of four more touchdowns in every game and no intercept. Like, he's
okay.
Yeah, he would have to do a lot.
But just as a betting man, the fact that you get double your odds, I mean, plus 1,600. Like, I'm taking that all.
Now, let me throw at you.
You should give me that $100, then. Just give it to me.
Well, okay. Wait a minute. How crazy is it? Let me give you the schedule. Because they've got the Cowboys Sunday afternoon at home.
I don't see him throwing five touchdowns against the Cowboys defense.
Okay, but you said four a game. But fine. He could still have a good game. Could they win this game? Of course they could.
Yes, I got them beating the Cowboys.
So, all right, that's a quality win. Now they play a lot of division games and some games here that I would say are winnable. Next, Broncos, then Raiders, then Chargers, Steelers, Bengals, Broncos again.
They could run the table. You're telling me they couldn't?
Would you bet against Mahomes here?
That's a different question.
Well, you said they'd have to run the table for him to
different
be in the conversation.
If you say, can they run the table, then I'm going to tell you yes.
Well, if they run the table, wouldn't he be the guy orchestrating this run the table?
Yeah, but then when you run the table, you're also going to look at the quality of wins and the opponents that you're playing, even though they're going to run the table.
Mm-hmm.
So he may not need to put up those type of statistics if those teams that he's playing is less than. That means that he's going to be getting help everywhere, which, defense, special teams, that sort of thing.
He would be the orchestrator, though, of this, and if they just win and then another win and another win.
So he's second in yards, second in TDs, 10th in QBR.
Mm-hmm.
If they go on a run,
yep.
I mean, the only caveat for him is just the turnovers, right? 10 turnovers, whereas Dak has five. But if they go
but
on a run.
There's people in front of him that are already kind of like.
Who's in front? All right, I'll give you.
Aaron Rodgers, right? We talked Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, that was a.
I mean, he took a little bit of steam.
That was a big loss that they had the other day.
Miami, Stafford's done.
Not anymore?
He's cooked, yeah.
Yeah, okay. What about Josh Allen? He's the favorite, according to Vegas.
But he's quiet.
He's so quiet.
He's quiet.
But if he orchestrates two wins over the Patriots over this next month?
Yeah, he's going to start to get some steam. If he beats the Patriots, he'll start to get some steam.
So why is Lamar Jackson cooked? Is he cooked?
No, he ain't cooked.
No, I was going to say, yeah. Okay,
I said Matthew Stafford is cooked. Yeah, Matthew Stafford is cooked.
Yeah, Lamar had the bad Thursday game. That sort of
you could tell based on, at least I can. I could tell. I understand the sports betting people and the odds and the money and it comes in and all that stuff. I can tell how the sports media starts to change the narratives based on how loud it gets after a game.
Mm-hmm.
You can start to. Matthew Stafford had a stinker. Guess what? Ah, you know, everything became Matthew Stafford's a problem. He needs to get it fixed. Da, da, da. Tom Brady, he's still there, even though they lost two in a row. He's still there because the losses ain't about him. The losses are about them. Aaron Rodgers, he's not putting up historical numbers, but he answered the bell after everybody tried to bashing based on his COVID situation. He answered the bell, then he cleaned it up.
And when he wasn't there, that offense was nothing.
Sputtered out, yes.
Yeah.
And he won a game, you know, again, without his with a lot of his main guys.
Same thing with Kyler Murray. It's like Kyler Murray's not playing. Arizona's losing. But the reason they're losing is because he ain't playing. Right. So he still shows you the value that he has to the team.
Just from an MVP perspective, can Kyler Murray afford to miss this weekend too? Like when does
I don't know if an MVP's ever missed three games.
That's what I'm saying. When do you start to hold that again? Like, whoa, it's almost like Joel Embiid. He didn't play enough games last year.
That's true. No, you start looking at Kyler Murray that way. 12, 13, right?
Slide it in.
But once you get to that, right? How many starts? Well, only it's 17 now.
I don't know if an MVP. I mean, Evan would have to pull that up to find that out.
Starts?
Has an MVP ever won? Only played 13 games. Because it's 17.
Yeah, right. You just
13 games. Has somebody ever won the MVP with only playing 13 games?
Mm. What about Dak Prescott?
Montana in 89.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
89. Wow. 40 years ago.
But I'm sure it was prolific.
What did you say 40 years ago?
30. Yeah, same thing.
You don't need to make me feel any older.
I was like, damn.
But what about Dak?
Was good math.
What about Dak?
It was bad math, actually.
Huh? Like what about Dak?
He's in it.
Yeah, he's very much in it.
Yeah, he's in it.
He might be the front runner right now.
He might be the front runner.
Elway only played 12 games in 87.
Wow.
Different. Those people that voted.
Remember, Kyler's going to miss three games, but he's still going to play 14. Even if Kyler misses this week, he'll still play
14 games.
Well, that's why I said 13, because it was a 16-game season prior to this one. And those guys that were voting back in 1980, whatever you said.
87, 89.
Are they still voting now?
Maybe.
It's also the dominance that both of those names had on the sport at the time, where it was just unquestioned. You know, I mean, that's a much different feel in here, where I think it's a much tighter race when you consider some of these names and how close everybody is in the standings here. You don't have a runaway team, really.
No.
That's, you know, an MVP that's ahead of a runaway team. So, you know, again, as the names are at the very top, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. There's Mahomes' name right there. And as you look at the schedule, you see is this momentum real that they're building right now? And then you come off of if they win this game Sunday, I do think it starts to turn to that conversation.
Key, how cold is cold for you? Like from a wide receiver perspective,
when I can't feel my hands.
It's like 34 degrees. Is that's not really cold?
Man, that's cold as hell, man. 34 degrees.
I'm just because that's what the weather is projected to be in Kansas City on Sunday.
But it's a different – see, different colds. Sunday. It's a different cold, right? So there's the cold, and then there's the cold with the wind, then there's the cold with the sleet, and then there's the cold with the rain, then it stops, and then the wind comes. So it's all different degrees of cold.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it's sunny because the game's at what time?
That's the 4 o'clock
4 o'clock game.
So it's 4 o'clock here, which would be 2 o'clock there.
Right.
So the sun is there. So by the time you get to the second half and that sun starts to drop, Jay, and you sweating, it becomes even colder.
Yes.
And if you're a guy that doesn't play, you're going to be even colder than that because you're standing on the sideline.
That's why
I asked, man. So it's a lot of levels of being cold.
Let's bring in Mel Kiper Jr., our ESPN NFL draft analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Mel, did you like that breakdown of cold by Keyshawn Johnson? Did you understand the
levels? That was unbelievable. I tell you, Key's at his best when he's talking about that stuff. Boy, I tell you. Man, that was interesting. But no, it does. It is an interesting case when you get into this type of year and the kind of season we've had. You talked about all the different MVP candidates, all the young quarterbacks. Look what Mac Jones is doing up in New England. It's been we're only halfway through with these 17 games, which I hate, but we're only halfway through. We got a lot of football to be played, and I think to make any final determinations on anything, and just to segue into the draft, because I know that's what we're going to be talking about, way too early to start talking about what's going to happen late April in terms of the quarterbacks, because there's still, like I say, a lot of football to be played there as well. We got a couple games left. We got, obviously, bowl games. You got the playoffs. You got the Final Four. You got the All-Star games. You got the Combine. You got Pro Day. So it's still, for the draft process, the college football season's almost over. The draft process has a long way to go.
You know, Mel, we were talking about this just a few minutes ago, and you know, the number one pick and the value of the number one overall pick, right? Baker Mayfield was taken number one by the Browns. It was a different regime at the time, and there's this debate of whether or not he has lived up to the billing of what a number one overall pick is supposed to be. In your mind, as a draft expert, has he?
Well, not yet. I mean, I think when he's healthy, he has. And that's the thing. A lot of these football players, he knows very well, aren't healthy. And when they're not healthy, they don't always play as well. And you shouldn't be expected to play as well as they are when they're 100%. You say, well, how many guys are 100% playing football in the NFL at this stage and, of course, later in the year? But in terms of Baker, to be playing through what he has shows how tough he is. And he hasn't had, obviously, the players around him. You think about that offensive line that Bill Callahan's tried to piece together because of the injuries there. Guys playing in normally wouldn't or shouldn't be, of the injuries to the running backs, the receiver situation. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's really hurt and has a ton of issues around him, yet we're asking him to be playing like a number one pick should. It's just unrealistic expectations with a lot of football players and just things that just don't make sense to me that I hear, criticisms that when you really factor in other things, realize that you can give that player, I wouldn't say a mulligan, but a little bit more of a, give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt. So I think when Baker's healthy, to answer your question, yes, he has. The problem is you say, well, Josh Allen's sitting there. He went behind Baker Mayfield, and he's an MVP. Well, Sam Darnold hasn't been, and Lamar has. Lamar went 32nd in that draft. I can give you examples of a lot of drafts where a fourth round pick like a Dak Prescott's outplayed the first round picks. Well, that happens, okay? Look at Tom Brady. But in terms of where we are right now with the quarterbacks and Baker Mayfield, hey, when he's healthy and things are going on around him positively, yes, he has played like a high draft pick and a number one pick overall.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I mean, I look at it probably a little bit different because when it's the quarterback or number one pick overall in general, because I was there, thanks to you, Mel.
how much of a cut did you give Mel? Did you take care of him?
I took care of Mel.
Well, I did talk, just to go back in the history, Key and I talked, after, was it your year prior to coming out?
My junior
when
year.
When you were debating whether you should come out or not, and we had a conversation. Key was very open about what he wanted, and I think honestly about what he wanted. He wanted to be the number one pick. He wanted to be in the mix to be. He didn't want to be. Key did not want to be. And Simeon Rice, who I spoke to about in that time period as well, these guys did not want to be a top 10 pick. They wanted to be in the mix to be the number one pick, a guaranteed elite pick. And that's why Key went back. Simeon, same thing, and look what happened. So I think they approached it in a way that would say, okay, in order for me to be happy and satisfied and have kind of a win-win, I need to have this happen. And I think a lot of kids now are just jumping out and leaving college and not, you know, realizing, hey, another year can benefit me in a lot of ways. Why am I so anxious to be leaving college football? I don't say disgust me, it just makes me question, what are you thinking? And I talk to a lot of people now, and it's like, all they're thinking about is the NFL when they're not even a first-round draft pick. Why in the world would you want to leave college if you're not even a guaranteed first-round pick? But it seems like that's where these kids' heads are. They talk to a lot of agents. They hear a lot of the publicity and a lot of the chatter out there about how great they are. And they all are just enjoy your college football days. Use that as a, I wouldn't say a minor league, a developmental league, but that's what you're doing. You're developing your talent for the best in the world in the National Football League. So it just frustrates me when I hear so many players just, you know, acting like they're ready to move on when they're really not.
You know, it's so funny that Mel says that because the conversation was such, not only with Mel, but my parents, my mom at the time. And so one of the conversations I had is, well, when Mel and them, you know, everybody was giving me information. Norv Turner was giving me information because Westbrook, they took that year, I think, at four. And he said, well, you'll be a top 10 pick, and here's what the money looks like, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I'll be graduating in 6 months. I'll get my degree. Not only that, I told my mom, I said, what you think I should do? She said, well, hell, I've been broke all this time. I can wait another 6 months. I said, well, there you go. Let me get my insurance policy and we good.
Mel, with all that being said, who are some of the top big-name quarterbacks that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think when you look at Kenny Pickett from Pitt, he's had an outstanding year. And here's a guy, too, if we talk about last year he was injured with an ankle, and he didn't play nearly as well because he had an ankle, which affects not only your mobility, but affects your arm strength. Everything comes together without your legs, your feet, your ankles, and all that. So, again, he's healthy. He's playing a lot better, and obviously having Mark Whipple there as the coordinator and quarterback coach has really helped him, and he's really emerged this year. Certainly, I think you look at Malik Willis with the talent level he has. Now, he's had his struggles with the interceptions against Louisiana Monroe, Middle Tennessee State, rough game against Ole Miss where they couldn't block them up front. Can't beat them if he can't block them. Liberty could not block them. Obviously, Louisiana Lafayette, interesting game this week. But Malik Willis is right in there as well. Then Desmond Ridder is kind of the one you got to figure out. The accuracy, the precise passing, but he's got a ton of talent. Certainly, he's going to be right there. And Matt Corral from Ole Miss, who also has had ankle injuries to both ankles, not one, and he's played through it incredibly tough. He's right there. So it's really four quarterbacks all vying to see, and I'm throwing Ridder in there because in terms of talent, he belongs in there. Obviously, I think there's going to be some discussion about the accuracy and all that, and things, how he does down the road. Now, Cincinnati's going to have a lot of big games coming up. I talk about marquee matchups coming up, potentially, SMU being one this week, but I think there's going to be a Senior Bowl week that's going to be critical. All these quarterbacks will be down in Mobile. Jim Nagy's going to have them all down there, and they will be scrutinized in Mobile, and then the pro days and the combines and all those types of things. So still a lot of work to be done, but it's going to be probably one of those four that I mentioned, guys, will emerge as a top 10 pick. It always happens. Even though their grade doesn't equate to that, they will get forced up, pushed up into that top 10. Not saying all four, but one, maybe two of those guys will, and all four probably will land in the first round.
Mel, as I look at this year's draft class and I look at a guy in Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia who went in the second round who seems to not be getting nearly the accolades for his play this year as he should be, I attribute that a little bit to him being taken in the second round opposed to being a first-round guy on top of the fact that the Eagles got three potential first-round picks in this upcoming draft. And people are thinking that maybe they can use one of those picks on a quarterback. What should the Eagles do with those picks? And is Jalen Hurts the answer?
Jalen Hurts has come on. The last three games, think about what he's been able to do. Get the ball to Devontae Smith. They were able to do that against the Denver Broncos and some other games. When they haven't, they've struggled. Obviously, you think about with Goddard and his situation there, getting the ball to him. And the accurate passing. We talked about that with other quarterbacks. We talked about it with Jalen. That has improved. And he's a young quarterback, and he still has a lot of football to be played. So I think the evaluation process of Jalen is ongoing. He's shown really well of late. He's shown at times flashes of brilliance. He's also had some struggles if you piece together all the different games. But how does he finish over this final half of the season will determine what you're talking about. He is how do they feel about what they want to do come draft day? How do these quarterbacks stack up coming out that I say are going to get forced up? When they're getting forced up, which means their grade doesn't equate to that. It means because they're a quarterback and teams need a quarterback so desperately, they're going to reach a little bit. It's happened before. Now, has that worked out? Not very well in most cases when you do stretch it. But in case of these quarterbacks, as I said, one of those four, maybe two of those four, will emerge as top 10 picks, and then they have to decide based on the rest of the season. And as I say, the NFL, we're coming towards Thanksgiving, guys, and we got half the NFL season basically to go. And for teams that are going to be in the playoffs, more than that. So in terms of games, so it's a lot of football to be played. And as I say, in college football with those quarterbacks, some big games coming up. What happens with the Cincinnati Bearcats and Desmond Ridder? Where do they end up? Are they a Final Four team? Are they out of that? How do they finish? And as I say, way, Senior Bowl week will be critical. But to answer your question about Jalen, it's still too early to tell. But it's trending towards Jalen looking like maybe he can be the guy for another year to see, because this is year to year, as you know. I mean, this is year to year, but you got to make a decision down the road on these guys. But for Jalen, it's great to see the improvement that he's shown.
How would you compare two young quarterbacks, one here in New York and Zach Wilson's progress, to one in Chicago in Justin Fields' progress this year?
They're all so different, the situation. Look at Mac Jones in New England. Perfect situation, right? I brought up last year, well, he's kind of like a Tom Brady, but he's not a Tom. He goes to New England, and New England didn't trade up to get him. They stuck where they were, as they did with Tom Brady with that compensatory pick, and they actually took another defensive back ahead of him in the sixth round. So they waited. They didn't take Tom Brady in the sixth round when they had a pick. They waited until the end of the sixth round with a comp pick. So again, it's the same thing with Mac Jones. He fell to them. To the question about Fields and Wilson, Wilson's with the Jets, who have a lot of issues from a personnel standpoint, and he was injured, and here he is. Now, Justin forced in there with Dalton's situation, a team that doesn't have a tremendous amount of talent around him, and he's shown flashes of brilliance at times. And he's also had some hiccups, some issues, as all rookie quarterbacks do. I always say, whatever you see as a rookie, be happy. Don't, you know, look at it as the end-all, be-all, that they formulate a final opinion on a rookie quarterback. I've seen so many struggle that became Hall of Famers as rookies. Some figure it out quicker. Situations usually dictate that. Personnel around them dictates it. But they're all so different. So to compare one to the other, I really think is impossible.
Mel, great stuff as always. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mel.
Enjoy the weekend, guys. Great job. Take care, man.
All right, Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN Senior NFL Draft Analyst. I love that little insight, though, on you before the draft and him talking with you about that and your motivation for being number
one. Mom said, man, we can wait.
Nah, such great stuff. All right, coming up, a man who had a big preference to preview the biggest game of the week.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Gets you going, though.
It does, doesn't it?
You start bobbing your head. Does. Feel like you're about to run out into the court,
that's right,
the field.
This is like you're hearing it, and you know it's time to get out there, get out on the floor. Man, the 90s, nothing better than this. Alan Hahn in for Max, and we go now to the Goodyear Hotline, where Nate Newton joins us right now, the former Cowboys offensive lineman. Nate, how we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
What's up, Nate?
What's good, Nate?
You the man, Key. You the man.
No, I'm trying to get there one day, man. I'm still trying to get there. You know, I'm learning slowly but surely on the job training.
I hear you, man. You sound good. You and all you guys.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Hey, so we've got a game this weekend that we all know. It's like the must watch game, and it's the Cowboys and it's the Chiefs, and it's obviously a tale of two teams. But the quarterbacks are always going to be the story. What do you make of the battle between Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes?
You know what, man? Patrick is, over the last few weeks I've been watching him, man. He's finally buying into the check down game, and he would do it against them Las Vegas Raiders, man, to show the Cowboys that he's he's fine-tuned and getting ready. And Dak, he's just been, ever since he's came back, man, and he had that little bump in the road a couple of weeks ago, just showed that's just a mishap. You know, all of these guys, man, are, both these guys are ready to go, man. They're primed, they set, and they're big-time stars, man, especially Mahomes.
So when you look at it, Nate, and the Cowboys are sitting there, have an opportunity to potentially get the first-round bye, the only bye in this year's playoffs. How important is it that they win this game, or could they afford to drop it?
No, no, Key. No game for the Cowboys. When you're trying to establish these young group of defensive players mixed in with these veterans on offense, they need every victory that they can have, especially a game of this magnitude. A lot of people don't understand how big games like this and being won can set you up down the road for tight situations, because you know it's the playoffs. Every play counts. And when you play a big game like this, every play counts. It's going to be four or five plays in there that's going to decide that game. And you want to go through this, win, lose, or draw, so you'll know how to respond to it.
So, Nate, when you think about Kansas City, obviously – I don't know, for some reason, Houdini is always a name that pops up in my mind when I think about Patrick Mahomes. But are they on the other side now of all this stuff, questions about their defense, questions about guys dropping balls? Do you feel like they're channeling that energy towards making a run at this thing down the stretch?
I think so, especially offensively. I think they're still trying to figure out who they are defensively. You know, they brought in Melvin Ingram, putting him into the mix. You know, Frank Clark hasn't exploded yet, and Chris Jones is just finding his sea legs. And that's a big fear for me when he go into the middle of our offense. Our left guard and our center are not the most strongest guys in America. So we have to play him real well. So I think the defense is still trying to find themselves. But the offense, I think Mahomes has figured it out.
You know, and we're talking with Nate Newton on the Goodyear Hotline, a three-time Super Bowl champ, six-time Pro Bowler, two times All-Pro, a great guard for the Cowboys for many years, so you understand offensive line play. The Cowboys, when healthy, have one of the best offensive lines in the game, the five-man group. Tell me more about that group, what you see from them, and you know what the potential is if they can obviously keep them healthy.
You know, the thing is, I looked at a little bit of practice yesterday, and Tyron Smith was doing a little bit of individuals. I don't know whether he got the team. I don't know if he pronounced that he's going to play, or the coaches pronounced it, but we need Tyron this game, man. We got a young Steele at the left tackle. We got Lyle coming back at the right tackle. You know, we got the Zach Martin at your right guard. And then the two guys at the center and the left guard is my question marks. Everybody else, I think, will hold up pretty good. Coach Philbin has done a great job of getting with Kellen Moore and designing a run game and a great pass blocking package. So they're doing well, man. But we need Tyron Smith to be in there this week.
Nate, the Cowboys kind of got their act together against the Atlanta Falcons. Are you concerned at all that the Chiefs got their act together against the Raiders? Does it worry you at all that you are going into Arrowhead, a place that both of you and I have played, and we certainly know how hostile it can be?
You know what, Key? I don't know how the players feel. But you know what, man? The little shows I've been doing this week, man, they've been holding me back, bro. I've been wanting to go and get on the plane with you guys. These are the games we live for, Key. These kids got to be living for this game. Dak got to be living for this game. Fear, that's in the back of my mind. That's out of 1 to 10, 1 being the best, 10 being the worst. That's a 10 for me. I don't even care. These guys got to be excited about playing a big game. Finally, Cowboys' name equal up to the play, bro. It's time to go rock and roll. No fear, bro. It's all about competition and making plays now, so your name will be out there in light. That's how I look at it, Keith.
I love it. Yeah, and that's how we're looking at this game and this matchup. And, you know, we look at it, Nate, and we say, boy, it's really important to the Chiefs to really prove that this run that they're on to kind of turn the season around is mean something. But then you look at the Cowboys, you think, well, they're going to own that division. They got 6 wins against their division. It's going to be easy, so maybe this game isn't as critical. But what you said is number one. Finally, the name is back up in the elite level that it's supposed to be at. It matches the brand. But the other question is something Key keeps bringing up, Nate. This game's important because if you're Dallas, you want that number one seed because you want that bye. Do you see it that way too? Like you're strategizing later on. I want to get that week off.
It's now. You've had a soft schedule up until this point. You're going to face some teams with the ability equal to you offensively. This thing is all about the quarterback and what offense can do it. These defenses got to hold on, get a turnover here right before the half, get a turnover at the end of the game, or a key stop to give your offense that extra possession. That's how you got to look at this, and you have to be looking at that number one spot. I do not want to deal with Green Bay. I do not want to deal with Tampa Bay. Not going up into their cribs, not with those type quarterbacks. And then the Rams, I pray to God they don't get it together. Because if they get it together, who going to stop them?
Yeah, Nate, so you won 3 Super Bowls, 2 with Hall of Fame coach Jimmy Johnson, the other with Hall of Fame Cowboy team that rallied to win the 3rd Super Bowl. How worried, I ain't giving Switzer no credit, how worried are you about some of Mike McCarthy's questionable decisions in games? Can we trust him?
And this is the game to show it all. You, if these two teams come out and do what they're supposed to do offensively, and the defense is a hole in there and just get a couple of 3 and out, it's gonna come up real quick. Time of possession, how he handles the time clock, how he does the special teams. These are the things that's going to show everybody. I love games like this because it put everybody out on Front Street. And then when Monday morning, either y'all will be talking nice about the Cowboys or y'all will be like, same old Cowboys. And I'm going to be disappointed because I think we something special.
Playmaker will be around here. I'm sure he's going to be
fired
up.
Stephen A. with his cowboy hat on and all that stuff, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I can't give Switzer no credit for that 3rd Super Bowl. Man, that was the team. You was on the team. I understand you want to give Switzer some credit. I was young. I was watching. He ain't getting no damn credit.
I hear you, man. But I'm going to tell you what, bro. If you ever meet him, you'll love him. That's all I got to say. You're a good, huh?
I said, no, I know. I know he's a good dude, but yeah. Hey, man, that was all.
We were a veteran squad.
That was a veteran team. I could have coached y'all to the Super Bowl. I just couldn't screw it up.
I hear you, man.
Nate, I love the fact that you sound like you're ready to go. Like you're ready. If they called you now, you'd be ready at Arrowhead for this game. That's how fired up you are.
Man, I would give that one magnificent play and run off the field like I got it. I promise.
Thanks so much. Great to talk to you, Nate.
Thank you, man. Keep it together, baby. Love y'all.
Yes, sir.
All right. Nate Newton again on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up, one NFL coach, he's really just looking out for the kids.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. I've wanted to take a minute here, though, but I guess I'll wait. You good?
I'm great.
We are on the air.
I wanted to
say that I enjoy these.
Realize you have a job.
That's what I try to tell them.
Yeah.
No, but you got to tell them more.
People call your phone and during a show and it gets.
Oh, you tell them,
the producer saying, "Hey, call me."
No, I have a job, and my job does not end until 10.
My priority
almost fell running back over.
Yeah, that showed athleticism.
Drop foot,
quick athleticism. That's really good. I wanted to say that I enjoyed myself these last 3 days. Thank you for having me filling in here. This was a lot of fun. It's good to be with
you really
guys.
We appreciate you coming back.
I want you to have a great Thanksgiving.
Jump ship and
try. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry I jumped ship.
We understand.
Try sorry I left you behind. Sweet potato pie.
I always have sweet potato pie. I don't know why you
sweet
keep saying
sweet potato
that.
Pecan pie.
No.
Sweet potato pecan pie.
Or pecan pie.
Pecan, pecan.
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 Potato,
pecan.
Potato.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Would you watch an ESPN cooking show with people like Keyshawn and Desmond Howard?
Chef Key.
And all the different athletes that we know tell us that they cook.
We need a good tequila sponsor, because if Key is drinking tequila and cooking, I'm watching that damn show.
I'm not going to burn up nothing.
I had a night where Key and I had some tequila, and Key said, look, I become somebody different now. And I like it. So yeah, I'm see that combination
see, I
together
sit,
now.
I want to sit like at like, you know, the steakhouses where you sit around the grill,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
then Key stands there, entertains us. We just sit there
talking
and talk
to you,
and we just talk sports while Key's cooking.
Don't say entertain us.
Yeah, that was right. I didn't really.
I
didn't mean it like that.
I don't want you to put my dude in. I don't like that.
Entertain
us. You know, entertain us, Key.
We could take that a lot of different ways.
Like I said,
for many years that was the entertainment.
See, that's
in the history of us. In y'all's.
Like I said.
You know, I just don't know why you just said that very
quickly. It was really
not correct.
Enjoyable being
you know
here
that?
With you guys. These
we don't want you to get canceled, Alan.
You know that. You know, we don't want you to get canceled, though. You do understand that for
you
many.
You know, like when you have people over your house, you're an entertainer.
You know, they used to bring us as they sit down and have their lunches and dinners and whatnot. We were the entertainment.
Make us
you
laugh. Yes. Tell another joke.
Yes, laugh. That's
come on,
it.
Man.
Yeah.
You know. My people are from Ireland and Germany. We were not like I don't
you
have
that, part of that.
My history.
Well,
like, you know, like
yeah. Don't want to make you.
Yeah, let's not go down that road either.
We bring you here to make you uncomfortable.
No, I mean, I just all I was trying to say was thank you.
Are you going to see the Rangers play tonight?
Islanders, and that is this weekend.
Oh, this weekend.
New arena, UBS Arena.
It's the second time you've had to clarify.
He Islanders said it doesn't
actually
matter. He said it Rangers
the
Island doesn't
thing
matter.
Dudes no, running around on skates.
The same nah, thing.
You
don't
puck.
Run
hit
on
it in the
skates.
Puck.
Yeah,
you don't hit him in the puck, and no one runs on skates.
We'll see about that.
We will. Taunting in the NFL, it is something that just needs to go away, doesn't it? It's not right. It's not good. It's not a good example. Right, Matt Nagy? How do we feel about taunting in the NFL?
Some people are egregious with celebrating, and it can be over the top. And I think probably the biggest message is let's calm this down a little bit, because, you know, people watch and people want to see, you know, a little bit of respect and a little bit of doing things the right way. It doesn't mean you can't have fun, right? But there's young kids out there right now that are watching games. And what happens is you go to one of these sporting events and you might see some imitation going on that's taking it over the top.
I believe the children are our future. Thank you. Teaching well and
let them lead the way.
Let them lead the way.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense.
This poor guy just takes it. He just really.
I wonder what the right
so
way
much
is,
criticism.
Though. Like, I don't know what the right
the
way
the right way to taunt people.
Yeah,
not there is no right way to taunt anybody.
Okay,
but it should.
Are we
be
really
rule.
Talking about like taunting? Like, is it really taunt or is it talking trash?
Yeah, talking trash.
Because like, taunting really to talking. Me seems like it's so.
But you can talk trash, and as if I'm not facing you, I think in the NFL I could turn my back to you and say whatever I want about you, but I'm not looking at you, so it's okay.
But you got to be slick with it, though. See, I was slick with mine.
How?
I just walked past him and say something, huh?
Or you would just walk past.
I say something like, "Man, what type of shoes you wearing?" You know, I didn't even know they still made those. And everybody know he got on some weak ass shoes, like some ponies or something.
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. I don't get that because in basketball, man, I look right at you and I'll say something to you. Is that you going to throw a flag on me if I play football because I'm talking to you?
It's about
is that taunting?
Isn't it about like who you're facing? You can't say it in the face. You can't get face to face.
See, I did it different. Like if I made a big play on somebody, I just basically say I told you, like something like that, you know. Or I remember one time it was you sorry, you this, that, and you other, blah, blah, blah. I said, your mama don't think so. See, I get
you
ugly.
Mama, that's
I get ugly. That's taunting.
That's taunting.
That's
oh, you sorry. You overrated. Well, your mama don't think so.
Right, and then you walk away.
Yeah,
so,
walk away.
So the flag would go on him for chasing you at that point. Because
yes, absolutely.
Even though you instigated it with things you don't say.
So if I dunk on you and I stare at you for a second, that's taunting.
Didn't Jalen Green do that to Cade Cunningham?
Yeah, is that taunting? And is that a technical foul?
Did a tech happen in that situation?
I don't get all this. Like,
what, do you think it's ridiculous? Like you gotta.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. If I hit somebody and knock them down and I'm standing over a stand, I walk over them, I'm gonna throw the flag because I don't know if he's hurt.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, that's taunting to me.
That might be too far.
But staring down a sideline.
While you celebrate,
it's a bit much, even though it's a rule that say you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. It's a rule in place, so I understand enforcing the rule.
But that's
a ticky-tack deal because I'm looking at the sideline now. What? Because the sideline be talking a lot of noise to you.
Oh.
When you out there, they be talking. I had to tell one dude played for the Miami Dolphins. I can't think of his name. He was talking crazy. And I told Sam Madison, and I said, man, this dude, I forgot his name, was a DB, but I said, it's a damn shame. We got medical benefits and dental benefits and everything. You need to tell him to use those on his teeth.
On his teeth with an F.
Oh, he had the straight jack-o'-lantern mouth. He had the spread going and everything.
But can you imagine, though? Roger Goodell does not want to see a playoff game decided because of a taunting flag. If you're a referee,
I don't know that they would. I don't know
game,
that they would do
you
that.
You better not pull that.
I don't think they would do that.
You don't think so? You don't think there's one dude?
No, I don't think they would do that.
Don't do that. No.
That dude's trying to call the Super Bowl. That ref wants to call the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so you don't want to have that impact in that in that moment. No, no doubt about that.
Well, I got Keith,
thanks for
next Friday's.
Us.
You know
thanks
what?
For entertaining
you know
us,
what?
Keisha.
Honestly,
thanks
are you
going to
send me out that way? Yeah. You going to send me out that way? Really?
Oh, I love you.
I'm just trying to do is create a show for ESPN.
Yes,
you're
sir.
Turning it into me being a bad guy.
Hey, sir. Hey, sir.
All right, that's it. Bart Scott.
Thanks for joining us,
sir. I'm out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.